Dateline Washington, Thursday, March 12, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the no-cost stimulus plan. We'll talk with Louisiana Senator David Vitter, who along with Arizona Congressman John Shattuck is introducing the no-cost stimulus plan. Their plan is to create millions of U.S. jobs and boost U.S. revenue in a huge way by expanding American energy production, both off our coast and in Alaska. We'll talk with Senator Vitter about that, as well as reports of the Democrats putting together a second massive stimulus package. Also in this edition, the omnibus bill, earmarks, stem cells, card check, the second stimulus package, and the rough start for Republican Chairman Michael Steele. We'll discuss it all with John Gizzi of Human Events. Plus, paycheck to paycheck. We'll take a look at some startling new numbers about how soon many American workers would be out of money if future paychecks didn't come their way. We'll discuss that and how the Obama economic plan affects those workers and you when we're joined by Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. Plus, the hybrid is the future. We'll talk with Gil Portalatin, the hybrid applications manager for the Ford Motor Company, about the increasing popularity of the hybrid line of vehicle. All that plus Thursday's headlines are straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Senator David Vitter, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Louisiana Senator David Vitter. Along with Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, Senator Vitter is introducing the No-Cost Stimulus Act in response to the record-setting $787 billion stimulus plan passed by Congress and signed by the President a few weeks ago, and in light of rumors that a second stimulus package may be on the Democratic agenda. And Senator, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Explain what a No-Cost Stimulus Act would do. How do you stimulate the economy without spending any money?
Yeah, this is a bill focused on energy, both traditional forms of energy and producing more at home, and new and renewable forms of energy and developing that technology. And as we pursue all of those ends, which are important in and of themselves, we can grow a lot of jobs in this economy and help spur our recovery. And so this is an energy bill focused on that job creation. It's really based on two simple ideas. Number one, we can grow good jobs quickly without dropping billions of dollars of hard-earned taxpayer money from airplanes. And number two, we need to break out of this stale debate in Washington about energy, that it's either or, that it's either oil and natural gas or renewables. It has to be both. We need to create a new renewable energy future, and we need a bridge to get there, which in the short term is oil and gas.
Senator, in terms of how this would specifically happen without federal expenditures, what is the pathway you see to creating all these jobs? What can the government do?
Well, this bill would immediately open up the outer continental shelf for offshore production. Right now, although we produce a lot of energy off our coast in Louisiana and Texas, virtually no other part of our coast does that. Would also immediately open up ANWR, the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, for energy production. That can put people to work and produce good energy very, very quickly. As it does that, it also actually creates new federal revenue. So not only is there no cost, we create new federal revenue, and then we harness a lot of that into a renewable and green energy trust fund. And we fund a number of ongoing initiatives to push forward technology and pursue renewable and energy and new forms of technology. So we do all that in the bill. The fourth major thing we do is streamline the regulatory process in a lot of different areas that pertain to energy so we can move forward with production and job creation.
If this were in fact to go forward, Senator, what do you see in terms of revenue and job creation? Are there any hard estimates out there?
Well, yes, we have some very concrete studies that say at least, at a minimum, 2 million very good jobs, and then we could grow the GDP over 30 years by as much as $10 trillion. Again, without spending 1 cent of taxpayer dollars. Now, already, Nancy Pelosi is talking about a second stimulus, son of stimulus, and undoubtedly, her version would spend hundreds of billions of dollars more. We can't afford that model. We have way too much debt already. It's a burden to our kids and grandkids. It will ignite inflation in the future and devaluation of the currency. We can't just continue to mount debt upon debt at alarming rates. And so this is the new type of model we need to adopt.
Senator, over the past several years, back when Republicans had control of the House, Senate, and the White House, the effort was made to open up ANWR to domestic energy production as well as expand to the outer continental shelf. And despite Republican majorities, that was unable to be done. So how much tougher is that challenge now that the Democrats are calling all the shots here in town?
Well, it certainly is uphill in this Congress, Greg, but it's possible if the American people get involved. And I would just point to last summer as an example. If you remember the energy debate last summer, once the American people got involved, motivated by sky-high prices at the pump, things changed in Washington enormously. The entire ground shifted, and all of a sudden, we did things that I'd been trying to do for years, lift the moratorium on offshore production, lift the moratorium on Western shale activity. So this is possible if the American people really get involved and demand some common sense change.
You, as you mentioned earlier in the interview, Senator, your state allows a pretty extensive offshore drilling. What has that meant for your state in terms of revenue?
Oh, it's an enormous source of revenue in our state, one of the biggest sources of state revenue. Pays for a lot of different things, and that'll happen at the federal level if we expand production domestically. In fact, this bill funds enormous research and strides forward in new technology and renewables from that additional revenue that will absolutely be produced with expanded domestic production.
And has this brought you any significant environmental challenges, or is the technology such that we can get serious revenues without risking our habitat?
This is proven technology, so this is nothing experimental. In fact, you can come to the Gulf and see that in practice. When folks go out into the Gulf for fishing, some of the best fishing is directly under oil rigs. With the new technology, with the new valves that prevent spills as soon as they happen, it is very, very safe. And another good example of that are our recent hurricanes. We've had devastating hurricanes over the last several years, Katrina and then Rita and then more recently Gustav and Ike, and yet very, very little environmental damage in the Gulf, even though plenty of rigs were toppled.
You mentioned before, Senator, that you believe it can't be an either-or. It needs to be an all-of-the-above, to coin the phrase that John McCain used during the campaign last year. Why do you believe the other side is so committed to completely reversing course here?
Well, they just have this ideological bent that is completely against any traditional energy like oil and gas. And that's very clear from the president's budget that he just announced several weeks ago. It has very significant tax through taxation and regulation on oil and gas activity. It's really anti-stimulus because that will cost us jobs. That will be anti-growth. We're trying to move in the opposite direction. Pro-growth, create jobs.
Senator, what do you make of the rumors that staffers from the House Appropriations Committee are already kind of piecing together another massive stimulus bill? We've heard the possibility of about $500 billion. No one's really saying that the green light has been given to this yet, but it's at least being talked about. How do you react to that?
Well, I think it's more than a rumor because Nancy Pelosi herself has said there may well be the need for a new stimulus, I call it. And undoubtedly, the model she's using and her staff is using is the same old model that Americans are sick of, which is dropping hundreds of billions of more hard-earned taxpayer dollars from helicopters or airplanes. We can't afford to do that. We're running up debt way too quickly in the trillions. Already, this president has accumulated more debt than all previous presidents, including George W. Bush, combined. If you look at the last stimulus bill, it represents more money than if somebody had started spending $1 million a day when Christ was born up through today. We can't afford to continue that model. We need more of a common sense model that doesn't spend those hard-earned taxpayer dollars, but does create jobs in other ways.
Senator, given the margins in the House, as well as the rules of the House, it's pretty clear that the Democrats can do almost what they want there. On the Senate side, obviously, you have a little more leeway in trying to stop legislation through a cloture vote. But on the key financial votes we've seen so far, on the omnibus and the stimulus, a couple of Republicans have crossed over and allowed the Democrats to get what they want. Do you see your conference tightening on this and being able to hold together a potential filibuster if necessary, or will you still have those that seem to cross the aisle when the chips are down?
Well, conservatives like me are sure working on that. I do think that the ground is shifting under us, toward us, in our direction. I've done about 15 town hall meetings in the last 2 weeks, and the tone at all of those town hall meetings wasn't just I'm concerned or anxious or I disagree with this new policy in Washington. It was really I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. So the ground is shifting in reaction to this runaway spending and some other measures of the Obama administration. So that's a very hopeful sign in my opinion.
And, of course, we talked about the stimulus plan, and we talked about the budget a little bit. Obviously, the price tag is kind of the thing that makes the eyes pop, but you said the president's energy plan is kind of detailed there. What else do you see in that plan that either bodes well or ill for our economy?
Well, the budget is a very aggressive, ultra-left document. You know, everything, including this new budget that President Obama has done since inauguration, surely settles the question or the debate that was going on before, is he going to govern from the center or the left? Now the only question is he going to govern from the left or the far, far left? And unfortunately, it seems like the latter is the case. This budget is way too much spending, way too much taxing, and way too much borrowing, putting that burden on our kids and grandkids.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, so much for your time today.
Thanks very much.
Louisiana Senator David Vitter, this is Dateline Washington.